Amen. John chapter number 6 is one of my favorite chapters, especially John 6:47. It says, "He that believeth in me has everlasting life." One of my favorite verses to show people out there when I'm knocking doors. And obviously, John 6:40 is also a great verse. But the verse that I want to focus on, if you can go very down to the very bottom, you know, and that'll be verse number 70 in John 6. Verse number 70 says this, "Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." One of you is a devil. And that's where I get the title of my sermon tonight. And the title of my sermon is this, "Devils in the House of God." Devils in the House of God. And really quickly, what do I mean by devils? Well, I'm not talking about the devil. I'm not talking about Satan tonight. And I'm also not talking about Christians that can act like the devil. For example, Peter, when he was telling Jesus, no, you're not going to be crucified. Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not trying to do the things that the Father wants to do." I'm not necessarily talking about them today. But what I am talking about, since we're starting 2026, I want to just take a moment to kind of preach something that is mostly for newer people, something that I wish somebody would have taught me early on in my Christian life, and that's to beware of devils, i.e. false brethren, i.e. false prophets. Now, let me start out by saying this. The most dangerous devil you will ever face in your life is not outside God's house. He's not. The most dangerous devil you will ever face is the one inside God's house. The one that sits in the pew, the one that sits there pretending to be safe, ready to strike, ready to devour you, ready to devour your children. And it usually comes in the form of false doctrine, damnable heresy. Give them time, they will start spreading it in one way, shape, or form. But let me just quickly read. Well, you go to Acts 20. You go to Acts 20, meet me in verse number 28. While you go there, I'm going to read from Acts. I'm going to read from Acts 20, 28. I'm sorry, just go to Acts 20. I'm going to basically read there as well. I know it's pretty far from John, but it's not that far. So what I'm going to do is just start out by reading 20 and go ahead and meet me in verse number 31. It says in Acts 20, 28, this is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Great verse on the Trinity. It says that God purchased the church with his own blood, and we know who shed his blood. That was Jesus Christ. "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you," "not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things," to what? "To draw away disciples after them." And if you've been here long enough, unfortunately, we've had our devils. We have our devils who have come in, and what did they come in for? To try to draw away some disciples after them, and they ended up succeeding. But let's look right there in verse number 31. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And for the last 20 years that Pastor Anderson has been preaching, he has been warning us over and over and over again that devils shall be among us. Be careful, because the devil will plant tares. And that's what I'm here to do this evening, is just to give you guys a refreshment, a reminder, because what I want is I want you guys not to fall for these people, because they are out to destroy you. They will infiltrate, and that's what they're here to do. And so, like it says in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Jesus didn't say that the wolves, they live outside the flock. He said they come to you. They come to you. And sometimes it makes me laugh when you hear hard preaching and the world gets a hold of our hard preaching, and then they start to quote-unquote persecute us. They start to give us the emails. They start giving us the voicemails. They start saying all kinds of stuff against us. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If you're a church, then let's just say you weren't even on the internet, but you're out there winning souls. You're out there getting people into the kingdom. You can take it to the bank. The devil doesn't like that. He just doesn't. So whether we're on YouTube or we're not on YouTube, if we were out there doing the work of the Lord, getting people saved, getting people into the kingdom, guess what? The devil's going to send his tares to us. He's going to do it. Now, the churches that are dead, they're not doing any works. I'm not talking about reprobate churches. I'm talking about churches that God would say are dead because they're not doing the first works. They're not out there soul winning. You know, they're not out there getting people baptized. They're not out there teaching God's word. Then maybe you will not be as attacked as much as a church that is doing something for the Lord. And last time I checked, it says 10,000 salvations in that bulletin, does it not? You think the devil's happy with that number? You think he's in wherever the heck he is right now? Do you think he's like, oh, well, faithful word, they're doing great works. Keep it up. I highly doubt that. You better believe that he's going to send some devils among us to do what? To destroy us, to hurt us, to take over the church as best he can. And that's what I'm doing here tonight, trying to warn you. Warn you with what? With knowledge. I'm trying to get you ready for when they do show up, you will not become a victim of them. Because it clear, the Bible clearly says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So do everything you can not to be the simple-minded Christian. So arm yourself with knowledge. And that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to give you knowledge because our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But with that said, point number one is that devils, we can never say this enough. I don't want you guys to be the naive church, the naive Christian, but devils will always be among us. Perfect example is Judas. It says in John 6:70, Jesus answered, said, I have not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Judas, he served for 3.5 years. Judas, he was here for every sermon. Judas, he saw all the miracles. Judas even preached. He went soul winning. Judas was trusted so much, he even had the bag of money. But yet he was the devil or a devil from the beginning. And you may wonder, well, is there somebody to be worried about? No. Worry about yourself first. Do what you need to do. You fear God. You keep his commandments. Because at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know who's the devil. All I know is that the devils, they will be among us. They will be among us. Now, they may flee for a season, but take it to the bank. They'll be back. They'll show up. They'll infiltrate. They have a mission. The mission is to damn people to hell if they can. Now, most of us are saved, but our children are probably not. So I'll tell you right now, those are going to probably be their primary targets. Is your child that's not yet old enough to understand salvation, but they'll do what they can. It's happened in my life. Praise the Lord, I had a good relationship with my kids where they flat out told my wife, hey, Auntie such and such just told me that there is no God. What do you think she's trying to do? She's trying to help my kid or hurt my kid? Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she's just blinded by sin. But at the end of the day, hey, those are usually the primary targets. So we need to be careful to allow our children to just run around and be friends with people that you barely even know. Keep an eye on them. I don't want you to be paranoid. This sermon is not to scare you, but I do want to scare you. I'm just going to tell you flat out, I do kind of want to scare you. But I also want to save the saved. What do I mean by save the saved? Those that are saved, I want to save you from destruction. That's what I want to do. I want to give you knowledge. I want to remind you. I want to just get you ready again for this year, because I'm telling you, we had a great year last year when it came to salvations, so I expect attacks to happen. I just expect them, because that's how the devil works. He goes after those that are doing a lot, trying to get them to fall. They go after the leadership, try to get the leadership to fall, because if we fall, you guys are probably going to fall as well. That's why prayer is important. A lot of things are important. You know, but let's not forget that Jesus Christ said in Matthew 26:20, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12 as they did eat. He said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man that he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. So when it comes to these devils, these infiltrators, you know, Jesus knows who they are. But I want to just constantly remind you that they will be among us. They just always will. But I don't want you to be so paranoid, so concerned, that it affects your testimony, it affects your Christianity, because at the end of the day, just like Jesus knew right here what I just read, that he knew from the beginning who was going to betray him, and he chose Judas, knowing that he was a devil from the beginning, and he didn't care if he went out soul winning. He just knew that, hey, this guy's going to betray me one day. I made this guy for the day of evil. I'm going to use him. He has a purpose for me right now. And so it is what it is. The devil also has a purpose for these false prophets, for these false brethren, for these reprobates, these rejected people that have no chance of salvation. But in Matthew 13, 24, you can go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I got bad news for you guys. Forgot to start my stopwatch. So the sermon begins now, amen? So while you go to 2 Timothy, I'm going to read from Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept," keyword slept, I'll talk about that in a second, "while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." But then we see Jesus explaining this in Matthew 13, 38. He says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom." That's us. "But the tares are the children of the wicked one." In case you didn't know, the wicked one, he has his children. Now, really quickly, not every unsaved person is a child of the devil. Not every unsaved person is a child of the wicked one. But the wicked one does have his children. They're reprobates. Once you're a child of the devil, you can never be a child of God. But don't freak out too much if you're an unbeliever and you're not sure what to believe at this point. At the end of the day, it is what it is. The devil has his children. God has his children. We know how God has his children because we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We know how the devil gets his children. When God rejects them, he gives them unto their father. Their father, the devil. That's why Jesus called the Pharisees after they rejected him over and over and over and over and over again. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." They were done. It was over for them. They've been rejected. Now they were hell bound. But what I want to show you guys or remind you guys of is that it says, "while man slept." While man slept. And it's clear that the enemy is the one that sowed these tares. These tares. And the enemy would try to sow tares in our church. And the thing about the wheat and the tares, it's pretty hard to tell the difference in the beginning. But let them grow, and then you'll be able to notice differences to where you'll realize, oh yeah, for sure, this is a tear. And we got to get rid of the tares once we know that they're tares. But for now, just live your life, do what's right, keep being faithful. God knows who these tares are. God knows, just like he knew that Judas was a devil, he knows who the devils are in our church. He knows who the devils are going to be when they come, when they show up. He knows who the devils are in other churches as well. And guess what? No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And one of the good things that God promises us is protection. Protection. So keep walking uprightly, and that good thing he would not withhold from you. So don't worry too much about them. Don't fear them. Don't fear the children of the wicked one. Don't fear these false prophets. Don't fear these wolves in sheep's clothing. Hey, if you're going to waste any time fearing, fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. What would that do? It will take care of these Judases. It will take care of you. It will protect you from them. But it clearly says that while man slept. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says this: "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Romans 13:11 says this: "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Why? Because if you're asleep, you're probably going to be the one that the wolf sneaks through. And our church, I believe, is a church that has a pretty good foundation. You know, we have a pretty good idea about what the Bible says. Hey, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep serving. Keep getting God's blessings upon you. Keep staying awake. Keep doing what's right. Because we don't want to be the sleepy church. We don't want to be this church that's filled with infiltrators. You don't want to be that church because your life will be destroyed. And is it even possible to have a church filled with infiltrators? Listen, we've had our infiltrators. I'm pretty sure a watered-down church is probably going to have more. It's just how they do business. They're just so weak, so soft. They're sleeping. They're not awake. They're not being fed very well. And then here comes the false prophets. Here comes the weirdos. They'll infiltrate. But because the church is so nice, so lovey-dovey, they don't do anything about it. But here at Faithful Word, once we identify you as a tear, once we identify you as a devil, it's not going to be a good day for you. You're going to be gone quicker than you showed up. And so, of course, God wants us to be awake. It says to awake out of sleep. And I think if you're pleasing God, you'll be able to see clearly and you'll be able to notice when somebody shows up. And then you'll let us all know, hey, this guy, you might need to go talk to him because he's passing around damnable heresy. And this has happened before. You know, we get the call or we have the conversation. Hey, such and such told me this the other night. And we're like, hey, that's damnable heresy. Then we investigate, identify, and then we end up just getting rid of the individual because that's what the Bible says to do. All right, now to my second point. So the first point is that, hey, never forget, they will be among us. They will. Devils will always be among us. The devil will always try to sow his tares among us. So never forget that. Pass it on. Remind yourself as much as you possibly can. So point number two is that devils, they disguise themselves with godliness. They disguise themselves with godliness. They're not usually going to show up with a Metallica shirt or AC/DC or whatever. They're not going to be that clear. They're going to talk like us, walk like us, sound like us. And let me just read really quickly. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness." Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let's just keep reading. For such turn away. So what do we do with these people? And what are these people? Who are these people? Well, let's keep reading. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What do these people sound like? What do these devils, what do these tares sound like? They sound like reprobates, and you don't have to wonder if that's what it is. Verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." So that's a list right there besides Romans 1 that you can use to figure out, hey, what's wrong with this person? Well, are they a false accuser? Well, is he a truth breaker? Well, is he high-minded? Well, is he a lover of pleasure more than lovers of men? Is he unthankful, unholy, covetous, boasters, proud, without natural affections? You know who that sounds like? Those that know me closely kind of know how I'm pissed off right now because of what's going on in the world. But you know who this sounds like? Our president in the White House, does it not? And people wonder, is he saved? See, I think he's a reprobate based off this list. I mean, does this list not have everything that man does? And the guy will lie it to your face. It's just crazy. But you know what? Hey, the devil at the White House is not the one that I'm worried about. It's the devil in our house that I'm worried about. That's what I need to focus on. You need to focus on because that guy's out to destroy us specifically. The one running the White House, let him do whatever. We know that we don't wrestle against higher powers or with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that we fight. Sorry if you're a Donald Trump fan, but you better start reading the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself," there it is again, "is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." It's clear that Satan can look like lights. His ministers, they look like ministers of light. This isn't new for people who have read the Bible for a while. In fact, when I read the Bible the first time through, this stuck out to me. And obviously, I would see, you know, these false prophets. I mean, who are the false prophets besides the ones that, you know, we pretty much know about? The guys, I'm like drawing a blank right now. Sorry, I had a long day. But T.D. Jakes, right? I thought the guy was saved. I thought it was legit. I listened to a few sermons. I didn't know better. Who's the other guy? The main guy, the smiley guy, the one that we always rip on. Joe Osteen. Is he still alive? Good night. Man, that guy has devil armor. I've been praying for that guy to die so many times. But, hey, better him than someone else, I guess. Is there anybody out there, the dollar guy? See, this is how you know I don't like to retain these people in my knowledge. I'm not big fans of them. Just like reprobates don't want to retain God in their knowledge, I don't like retaining this reprobate in my knowledge either. Well, I need help from all you guys to remind me. Who are these guys again, these false prophets? What about the guy that's worth $800 million, the old guy that has like a million planes? Who is it?
Copeland.
Copeland? Kenneth Copeland. You know, these guys, hey, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what to think about them. When I first got saved, I'm like, hey, amen, praise the Lord. I had no clue. Because they weren't doing or saying anything crazy. I mean, they're up there talking about Jesus. They're up there sounding like they care about what they're talking about. You know, they had that charismatic personality. So when I would watch them, I didn't know what to think. And then later, little by little, I started to figure out, hey, they have a different gospel. They believe in, you know, repenting of sins, tongue speaking, all that craziness. So it wasn't hard to figure these guys out because of one thing, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel. This is why when we had our devil, our ex-deacon, you know, when he showed up, he seemed like he was a godly guy. He made it very clear, hey, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian school. You know, I grew up in whatever, I think even, I'm not sure, I think he was even trying to go to maybe a college at some point. And he was here for who knows how many years. And I went soul winning with this guy. I've seen him give the gospel to people. I've seen him give people to pray. I didn't think anything of it until he started preaching damnable heresy, until he stopped believing in the Trinity, until he went from the Trinity to believing that God sent the Son to be the Savior to God sent himself to be the Savior. That's two gospels. That's not the same. Without even having to really think about it, it's like, okay, he believes that, guess what? The Son is the Father is the Son, but there's no three, there's no Trinity. He sent himself to be the Savior. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, hey, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why would he say that if he was already the Father? But this guy went from believing or at least preaching right to all of a sudden he's preaching wrong, and not just wrong, but dead wrong, as in damnable. So once that was crystal clear, he had to go. He had to go. And then I'll talk about it as my third point, but the mistake that a lot of people made is they still fail, like, oh, you know, I just can't believe it because I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen him give the gospel. I've seen him bring people to church. I've seen him get people baptized. I just don't believe the guy is saved. Could he just be a little lost? Could he just be a little off? A little off? How do you go from believing that the Son, you know, the Son is the Savior, that eternal life is through Jesus, to believing that, oh, well, you know what? Now I just think that they're the same person. No distinction, no difference, nothing. It's a different gospel. Sorry, but that's damnable heresy. Exactly what the Bible says is going to happen when these people come in. Now imagine if your child's not saved, but you ask this guy to go give the gospel to your kid. Get your kid to pray. Guess what? If you're not saved, you can't get people saved. You don't have the power of God in you. So then that kid's going to be declared saved, and guess what? Then we're going to baptize him, and then guess what? We're going to all constantly just tell him, hey, aren't you glad you're saved? And because the kid doesn't know any better, he's just going to grow up. He's going to grow up, and then he's going to be in middle school, and everybody's going to be having activities, and they're like, hey, raise your hand if you're saved. He's going to raise his hand. Next thing you know, he's in his late teens. Next thing you know, he leaves the church. Next thing you know, you find out the guy was never saved. Why? Because this wolf, this devil, came in the church house and gave the gospel to your child. That's what I believe happened to Tyler Baker. Because it's clear, when you look at his church, it's repent of your sins. Even though it says Baptist on it, don't mean anything. But you wonder what happened to this guy. Here's what I think happened to this guy. His church was asleep. His church was asleep. A bunch of people dead asleep. A lot of bunch of people to creep in. They didn't really look into what they really believed. They just trusted, because that's what sometimes Christians do. They just trust anybody that says Jesus. That's how Trump got into power. Jesus, I'm a Christian. Well, let's vote for you. Never really seeing what the guy believed when it was crystal clear what he probably believed based on how he acted, based on how he talked, based on how he walked. But this is why it's so dangerous not to take this serious, to just think, well, I know we'll have, you know, infiltrators, but I think for the most part, You know, we can relax with everyone here. I mean, come on. The Bible says in Romans that they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. So no way would some infiltrator just come in here, sit in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, is that even possible? Hello, Judas. Judas with the apostles, with Jesus, listening to his preaching. Hey, he must have loved money so much, he didn't care if he hated everything he heard. But don't think that, oh, reprobates, they don't like to hear the word of God. Reprobates, they don't even want to think about God. There's a good chance those really bad ones, yeah, they'll attack us, but there's no way they're going to come into the church house and sit here day in and day out and go soul winning and even sing the hymns. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you have that mentality, you're an idiot, you're a fool. I'm here to wake you up because I love you. Because I love you. We need to be careful because you just don't know. At the end of the day, you guys can't guarantee that I'm saved. You're going to guarantee that you're saved. Obviously, if I'm not, just keep praying that God would expose me and destroy me. It'll happen. If I'm not the real deal, it will happen. God does answer prayers, and it seems like every single wolf, every single devil that ever came into our church, they all got exposed. They all got exposed. And some people, just like myself, were like, wow, I can't believe it. This person went soul winning. This person walked the walk. He talked the talk. He came to every service. This person was out there, went the extra mile. Wow, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. But should you really be shocked when the Bible says that his ministers are angels of light? Should you really be that shocked? See, the person that you're wondering about, that's probably not the devil. The person that you're looking at like, man, I bet you this guy, too many red flags, that's probably not the one. That's probably not the one. Because if Satan is going to use, you know, anyone, he's going to get his best guys to infiltrate. And hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, sing the hymns. And then when it's time to strike, they'll strike. They'll strike. They'll start drawing away disciples secretly. That's how they roll. That's what we've seen. And that's what we're always going to see. But these guys are smooth talkers. Let me just remind you, Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I'll get to that later on. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceives the hearts of the simple. The simple, that could be saved or unsaved. So let's just remind ourselves not to get too lax with people you barely know, and even people that you absolutely do know, you just never know. I'm just going to be honest with you. You just never know. And you can say to yourself, well, I know that I'm locked on. I know the word. There's no way I can ever be deceived. The apostles were deceived. And I've been deceived more than once. I think I've been deceived at least 5 times by people that I thought were the real deal. Then it turns out that they're one as heretics as well. I was thinking, man, this guy's a good dude. Later on, one is heretic. Wow, this guy's a good dude. Later on, one is heretic. Wow, this guy's a good guy. Man, he brought his family from wherever just to come to Faithful Word. I was like, wow, this guy's a good dude. Turns out, nope, he's bad. He's bad. And I'm thinking, wow, man, these guys are angels of light. I got duped. And don't feel like, hey, I'm an idiot, because at the end of the day, if the apostles got duped, guess what? You can too. So take heed lest you fall. They sound loving. They sound like they really care. But at the end of the day, they don't. They just want to devour you. Amen? And they will look clean. They will look clean on the outside. Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto man, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And that's the thing about these people, is they are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, but sometimes we can't see it. But then we'll see it like crazy afterwards. Once they get exposed, once they get kicked out, once their life goes downhill, we'll see the hypocrisy left and right. But until then, just got to be careful. Don't worry about it too much. Like I said, if Jesus knew that Judas was the devil, he knew that from the beginning. He knows who's the devil's in this church, who's the devil's in other churches, and just keep praying for the destruction. Nothing wrong with that. But now, I'm almost done. I think I'm 30 minutes in. If not, oh well, I'm 18 minutes since I started. And I think I started 5 minutes late or something. Who knows? Who cares, right? We're having a good time. Amen? Amen. People that love church make me happy. So my last point is that devils, and now this time I'm talking about devils from all levels, from all levels. I'll just give you three levels. First is the devil. All devils must be removed, period. How do you remove the devil? Well, what does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee. So keep doing right. You feel like you're under attack? You can't really figure out what's going on in your life. Things are going downhill, whatever they may be, sicknesses, who knows? The devil can't do that sometimes. He did it to Job. But at the end of the day, just assume, okay, if it is an attack, there's only one thing you can do about it. Hey, keep resisting. Keep resisting, and he will flee. He will flee. That's how you get rid of that guy. But then, of course, you got these devils, the ones that I've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, the bad ones, the reprobates, the false brethren, the false prophets. We haven't had a lot of false prophets come through here, said maybe Ken Hovind. But hey, I thought he was saved too. So if you think that we fell for a whatever easy one, I don't think he was that easy to figure out. But if you believe he's saved, I don't know what to say. Keep reading. But of course, these devils, they got to go. As soon as we realize, hey, get out of here, you're a heretic, boom. And obviously, once we found out that our former deacon was a heretic, he was gone. It was over. Get out of here. And even then we wonder, is he just confused? Is he just lost? But give it time, it'll make it very clear that they're not. They're preaching damnable heresy, and they're damned. They're damned. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we see with these people and their followers, the ones that he took with them. But now the other one, the other devils that I want to talk about, you could say are like the Peter-type devils. The ones that are saved, but they're not really understanding that what they're doing is not God's will. The ones that were like Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." Those are the ones that you also have to get rid of. Let me just read really quickly. Romans 16, I already read it, but I'm going to read it again. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. These are the ones, these are the Christians that get backslidden. These are the Christians that cross the line. These are the Christians that commit sins that are worthy of being kicked out of church. Railing. Fornication. Drunkenness. These are the guys that are living like the devil. And they need to be kicked out as if they were the devil. But once we kick them out, don't make the mistake that I made. Don't make the mistake that a lot of people have made in the past when we kick people out, when it turns out that they're committing sins that are worthy of being kicked out. Because yes, we're all sinners, but we all know there are certain sins that will get you kicked out. That will get you kicked out of church. And we kick you out because we love you. We kick you out because we want you to be ashamed. We want you to get right with the Lord, not because we want to see you be destroyed. But if the devil has to destroy you to get you back on track, so be it. So be it. But at the same time, when it says you mark those people that are causing problems in the church, that are being an offense unto other brothers, that don't want to repent, you kick them out. The Bible doesn't say then try to restore them. It says avoid them. Avoid them. So when we have another one that just ends up being like the devil, another member that we have to unfortunately kick out for whatever reason, for some serious sins, remember this. Avoid them. Avoid them. If they get kicked out by pastor, guess what? They probably have pastor's number. If they ever want to talk to anyone, they better talk to pastor first, get right with him, then we can talk. Because I got a text message like a week ago by somebody who left the church, and I'm thinking, man, I'm offended that they even text me. We didn't kick this person out, but this person left because they felt that our pastor was disqualified, that our pastor was living a double life, that our pastor shouldn't be up here preaching, that our pastor was wicked. That's why they left. Oh, they left quietly, whatever. Everybody knows you're not here. That's not really quietly. So, of course, I get a text, and I'm like, what in the world? It's like, did this guy think I'm dumb? Is he testing the waters? What the heck is this? Because I don't know about you, but when people message me, and it hasn't been that many, I just do what the Bible says. I avoid them. I blocked their number. And I'm like, hey, they got pastor's number. If they want to call anyone, call him and apologize. Call him and get right. Then get back in church and we can be friends again. That's how we should do business all the time. But the mistake is the mistake that I made when we kicked somebody out, somebody that was closest. I think this is the guy that I've been the closest with since I've been at Faithful Word. This guy crossed the line. He railed. He got rebuked. He didn't repent. He got kicked out. Then sure enough, I feel bad for him. I'm like, man, what should I do? I should have followed what God told me to do here. Because then I decided, you know what? I'm going to try to set this guy straight. I think I could do it. I mean, if anybody can, it's probably me. I'm his closest friends. We hung out a lot. We talked a lot. And so I decided I'll give him a call. So I called him. Hey, let's meet. Sure, where you want to go? Let's go get something to eat. Let's meet. Let's talk. Let's talk about what happened. Because I felt bad. You got kicked out in front of everyone. I really felt bad. Feel bad for you, your wife, your kids. Your kids started screaming or started crying when you got kicked out. So I'm thinking, man, you know what? I'm going to try to be the peacemaker. I'm going to try to see if I can talk some sense into this man. And so when I finally met him, we went to go eat somewhere, quickly ate, then we started talking. Right away, he starts crying. He starts crying. He feels bad for what happened. So I just let him cry. So he starts crying. He feels bad that this person said this person said that, the people that he thought were his friends, you know, they're all basically telling him how wrong he is, what an idiot he is, and he was just crying in front of me. And I'm just like, man, maybe this was a great idea. But then next thing you know, once those tears dry up, then he starts getting vicious. Then he starts talking about all the bad things our church is doing, all the bad things pastors doing, all these false railing accusations. And I started talking to this man, no joke, from 6 p.m. all the way to 6 a.m. the next day. That's how much I cared about this guy. If you don't believe me, talk to my wife. Then after that, I had to go to work at 6:30 in the morning. Then I went to work from 6:30 in the morning all the way to 9 or 10 at night the next day. And guess what? It didn't help this guy. It made him worse and emboldened him. Until this day, he's still the same. Because all he wanted to do was just drop everything that he had in his heart. He just wanted to drop it on any idiot that will listen. Because when he was being excommunicated, nobody was hearing him out. Nobody. It was breaking him down. And like a fool, I went and got in the middle of God's chastisement. When if I would have just paid attention a little more to the Bible, I would have just said, you know what? The Bible says, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. It's for their own benefit. They call you, text you, block them. Block them. They get right, unblock them. But if they ever get kicked out, if we ever have church members that act like devils and we have to get rid of them, we have to kick them out, do what the Bible says and avoid them. If you really want to help them, avoid them. Excommunicate. You're done with communicating with them. But you don't understand. I mean, you're going to make the same mistake that I made and the same mistake that other people have made. It doesn't really work. What works is when no one's talking to them. Then they start to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Then they start to break down. But if you give them that ear to hear, all you're going to do is embolden them, because then they're going to think, well, see, I think he believes me. I think he's on my side. And then he'll roll with that. It'll go to their head because you listen to them. And I did my best to get this person right on the track. I'm telling you were wrong. You shouldn't have said that. He's like, what should I do? He's like, you need to apologize to the pastor, apologize to the church, and that's it. Call it a day. That's what he asked. But he's like, I don't think I could do that because I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. But that's what happens. So when it comes to devils in the house of God, we will have tares. Don't worry about those. God knows who those people are. He knows who they are. Don't go around trying to figure them out. Because honestly, if you were to ask me, do you think anybody in our church is a devil? I'd be like, yeah, you know, red flags maybe with some people. But honestly, I don't know and I don't care. I don't worry about that at all. I don't fear these people. I don't fear them because of what I've seen happen to them. God exposes them at the perfect time he does. But at the same time, I like to tell people, listen, if there's somebody who you're pretty much thinking is some infiltrator, chances are they're probably not, because these guys are really good. These guys are really good. These devils, these wolves in sheep's clothing, they're really good. Where when it happens, when they finally get exposed, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be confused. You're like, wow, I never thought I thought they were perfectly good people, great people. But once they get identified, they're out. Hey, especially if they're preaching damnable heresy, I don't need to tell you anything. You know what to do when they're preaching damnable heresy. But then we got the other devils, backslidden Christians, the Peters, where it's like, oh, well, don't do that, Jesus. This ain't going to happen. He's like, hey, get away from me. Get behind me, Satan. Those Christians that are backslidden or they're just deceived by their own hearts, those that end up just being devils in our church that we have to kick out, those are the ones that I'm telling you, it does help when you kick people out. It will break them unless you step in and you become that buffer between, you know, God and the chastisement they're receiving. And it's not hard to see what it says. Mark them, those that are causing division, and avoid them. Avoid them. Don't exhort them. Avoid them. And it's going to mess you up if you continue to be friends with them. Let me just finish with this. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. So what is this saying? Anything that's bad for you, just get rid of it. People that have been kicked out of church, they're not good for you. I know it's hard to say goodbye to your friend who you've known for who knows how long, like I did, but as soon as we're done with that conversation, I was like, hey, I'm done. If he wants to talk to anyone, he needs to go talk to pastor, apologize. Until then, I'm not going to call him ever again. And the thing is that we're all going to have to go through this probably at some point where you're going to be friends with people. They're going to screw up. They're going to say or do something that gets them kicked out of church. We end up doing it. You were close to that person. You're going to feel like, hey, you know what? I think what happened was a little overboard. I think I could still, you know, kind of like not necessarily bring them to church, but be friends with them. Don't be that person, because now you're probably going to bring God's curse upon you as well. So it's like, okay, you don't want this guy to get right? You want to kind of get in my way? Why don't I take you out with him? It could happen, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. That's why this is there. It's a warning. It's not just a cool teaching or a cool verse. It's a warning to us. Because we will at some point, like it says in 1 Timothy 5:20, there will be a point when we have to rebuke before all that others may fear. And rebuke, if it's unloving, it's like, how could you be so unloving? How could you like rip this person to shreds in front of everyone? How could you be so mean? Well, if rebuking is unloving, then the Bible is unloving. Then God is unloving. Because last time I checked, whom I love, I rebuke, is what it says in Revelation, I believe. So people that will rebuke you, it's because they love you. A church that won't rebuke sin, or even people that come in with damnable heresies, and my last church had that. We had people that were allowed to come to church over and over and over again, and they believe a totally different salvation. But they came to our church because, believe it or not, they liked the people, but I just think they were trying to destroy the people. But they would just let them just stay here and just continue year after year, just believe stuff that's damnable. But at the same time, all I want to do tonight is just help you guys to remember that the fight is still on. Help you guys to remember that the devil's not happy with any of you, with you, your children, any of us. We probably got him so upset last year because it wasn't just the best year for us. It was the best year for the whole NIFB. So he's probably doing a counterattack, trying to figure out, okay, I got to do something because this is something that just angers Satan. It has to. And his minions as well. So I'll just say this, Acts 20:29. Once again, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. The devil doesn't have to attack us from the outside. He doesn't have to. He can easily try to get us from the inside. That's what he can also do. And with a church like this, the outside, the world has been talking bad about us for who knows how long. I think it's like nothing now. We're used to the devils out there saying whatever they want to say about our church because they don't know the Bible, they're atheists, they're liberal, whatever the case may be. But the inside is what I think is the bigger danger if we allow ourselves to get sleepy, if we allow ourselves to get weak, if we allow ourselves to get careless. I think that's what the devil will bring in his best, and that's what they'll do the most damage they can. But if you're going to stay in the fight long term, you just got to take heed of God's word and you'll be okay. God will protect you. And just remember, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether we're on YouTube or we're not on YouTube. You're serving God. Those that live godly will suffer persecution. Remember that. Let's pray. Dear Father, once again, we thank you for giving us another great day for church. Father, we ask you to just be with everybody here as they go home. Please protect them. And not just that, Lord, this is the Wednesday night service, so these people go above and beyond for you. So I ask you to go above and beyond for them. And Lord, we ask you to do all this to bring honor and glory to you and your Son. And we thank you once again. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.